you know, my tee time was to begin in literally 25 seconds. But here we are.
It's because you're a pro's pro.
I don't know that there's a lot of people that would say that. I don't know that I would say that. But hey, Steve, you know what? I'm just glad to be in your company.
Since you're a pro. Since you're the guest, just follow my lead, okay?
I'm blushing.
Yeah. Nate, obviously, I was aware of the investigation going on, but I was stunned at this stage that, you know, to get that news yesterday. You know, to be honest with everybody, what was your thought when you heard?
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded. Up front, I like and respect Pat in the same vein as you, right? I could not. If I had chosen words, they would have been exactly the same as what you just said in the lead-in. You know, I cannot sit here and interpret or dictate what other people's feelings are, right? Their interactions,
that's right,
are theirs.
Yes.
And that's their prerogative, and so be it, right? And I'm not in a position to have that. I can only attest to my own interactions, and overwhelmingly, you know, personally as well as professionally, they have never been anything short of outstanding with Pat. That said, you and I have both been here for the whole thing, right? And mm-hmm. So it's not as though there are any real surprises in understanding who and what Pat is as a coach. He is a fiery guy. He's competitive as heck. If you've watched a Penn State game, if you've seen him interact with officials, if none of this is guesswork. He is who he is unapologetically. There have been incidences in the past, in which. I don't know if you want to call it like edging up to the line of what is acceptable or appropriate versus what is not. My initial feeling yesterday was not so much a surprise that eventually this thing might run out on Pat's tenure with Penn State. It was going to end at one point or another. I didn't envision him being the Penn State basketball coach for 30 years, right? Like that wasn't how this was going to play. But for it to happen now, in the middle of preseason practice, the way that this is playing out is truly stunning to me in every way. I know, T. Frank said this is fine. Kiddingly, this is an unmitigated disaster.
Well, here's the other part. Obviously, we don't have privy to the internal report. Sandy Barber is, obviously. And, of course, she shared that with Dr. Barron. She's not one that wants to do this to coaches. So whatever's in there had to be enough for her to do this, and I think that's the part of it I respect, because you and I both know she doesn't want, especially on October 21st, which is what it was yesterday. I mean, there's no athletic director in the country that wants to pull the plug on a coach in the middle of the preseason.
Of course.
I think that's why people have to be fair as to what, you know, she was in a tough spot and she had to handle it.
Right. No, it's just a. Let's be forthcoming here. The Rajir Bolton stuff happened this summer in June, July. At which point, I'm not sure whether we agree personally or disagree. I don't think anyone would have objected overwhelmingly if that had been the cause of his termination. Mm-hmm. If they had decided, listen, you know, this just is not behavior that is you know representative of Penn State. We cannot we can't allow for this, and this is let's call it the final straw on the Miles Dread push and any of the ejections or what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that had been the timeline, now you give yourself a chance to damage control, to sort out moving forward as a program, right? This does not allow for that. And so, yes, you're right. I mean, I have a significant amount of respect for Sandy.
Yes, absolutely.
And I do.
Yep.
And so, it just makes you, it makes you question whether or not, and this is just as an aside, like this is what becomes unfair, okay, to the actors involved, is that when there's this level of discretion, I would almost compare it to James Franklin's policy regarding injuries, is occasionally in that circumstance, players might be playing hurt, okay, and it might impact their performance.
Yep.
And so for fans to understand that and be able to put in context a performance that they would otherwise consider poor, maybe that information would illuminate or allow them to say, oh, well, this is why that is the way that it is. I understand the discretion. I understand not wanting to come out and say something definitive one way or the other. But here we are today after Chambers resigned, and it could be anything. It could be either a final in a string of transgressions that we would all consider, again, running up to that line. Or maybe it's something huge, maybe it's something undeniable that just it is beyond reproach, and there was no other choice in the circumstance. We don't right. know that. We don't have any context to that, and so it's not fair, really, in my mind, to Chambers or to Sandy.
But Sandy did say straight out yesterday, this is not NCAA related. So that part we can look at. Jim Ferry will step into this tough job. There's no doubt about that. I've known Jim for a long time, but before he ever even came here to Penn State. He's the guy that offensively, he's essentially been the offensive coordinator, and Penn State's been scoring points. What does Jim bring to the table, in your opinion, that can help steady the ship right now?
Experience. You cannot replicate head coaching experience, right? He's done this before. He's been in this before. This is nobody wants to walk into a situation like this. Nobody wants to be a head coach because the guy that they were working for was just forced to resign. So that is a beehive of challenges that he's going to have to handle right off the get-go, right off the bat. But when you've been there, when you've sat in that seat at that desk, you're at least better suited and better prepared, to be able to handle those things. And as far as the team itself, his impact is obvious. Right. I mean, four years ago, I've lost track of his tenure at this point.
In 2018, they won the NIT, and then last year they were essentially in the NCAA tournament.
And they won the NIT and went to the NCAA tournament because, unlike previous seasons, they were finally able to put the ball in the basket.
Yep,
that's the bottom line. And so there's no, you can't overstate how important that has been for them to average, you know, again, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's plus 70 over the last few seasons, not the one in between, but the NIT and then the NCAA season. So for them to finally be able to compete and score, you know, that was a major difference, and Ferry was a huge influence, obviously, on that success. And so, you know, given the makeup of this year's team and the players that they still have on the roster, I would not expect that to change, right? I mean, you would expect them to continue to have success offensively. You know, it's just a disaster of trying to handle the emotional side of this, the personal side of this. These are young guys. Right, these are their families. Like, you have to sort all of that out, and it's a tornado right now.
Right.
It's just going to be so hard for them to kind of work their way through this. You know, as an entire program, that's Ferry, that's the assistants. Taylor Battle just got here.
Yep.
You know, all of those dynamics are going to be, you know, a black cloud, and it's just a question of whether or not you can, you know, push through it.
Yeah, because you're going to have an entire freshman class that will never play for the head coach that recruited him. You're going to have a transfer from Binghamton that will never play for the head coach that brought him in. But in fairness, too, the assistants are lead recruiters on guys. The assistants that recruited all these guys are still there. So that is something that obviously everybody will lean on.
Yep. Yep. No, I mean, look, like, you know this, I know this. And I think largely at this point, the prospect class and their families are aware of the nature of college coaching, right? It is a constant turnstile at every place, right? And there was never a time, I haven't experienced a time, I don't think, in Chambers' tenure at Penn State, where I felt like he would necessarily be here in 2 years, right? You had no idea, right? I mean, after maybe, I don't know, the third or fourth year, every single offseason has been a question.
Jim will be, this will be my 39th season, okay? So Jim will be the sixth head coach that I've worked around, all right? Dick Harder was the first coach I worked around on the network. And at the end of the season, he was relieved of his duties, and then they hired Bruce Parkhill. Bruce then left in September, his last year, and Jerry Dunn stepped in. That was a shocker. Jerry was released at the end of his tenure. Ed DeChelis was brought in. Then Ed left in late May. Nobody leaves in late May, and Pat was hired in June. So, I mean, this will be the third different time where an odd time of the year during my tenure of doing this, it's happened. I mean, it does put the program always, and I know from experience, it puts the program in an odd spot every time because of the timing of it.
It's. I'm so glad that you brought it up, and it's different, right? Like, there were never questions about Ed, and his behavior. Ed was, right? Like, yeah. So I'm just prefacing what I'm about to say, which is simply that the parallels and the way that history kind of repeats itself with this program is fascinating to me, and in a bad way. I'm just speaking from my perspective, and again, like, you can only get so close to be able to see, you know, who and kind of what this is as a culture around Penn State men's basketball. But it just seems to me, based on Ed's experience, and now based on Chambers, those are the only two coaches that I've been around for. You've been around for more than that. But it just seems like it's this constant state of inner struggle, right? Like, it's this constant state of you're not just fighting the perception externally, towards the program, of which is long and storied and well-deserved as a program that just has not had success. That you get. But what you also have is, here's a program that is fighting within its own kind of athletic department for relevancy on the stage of football. None of what I'm saying is new or not understood. It's just this is the dynamic that you're dealing with, is how do you bring this program up to a level where it gets the same funding considerations as its peers, right? That it's held, and I'm not saying peers as in football. I'm saying peers as in the rest of the Big Ten, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get it to a, like, and so you're just always fighting, and naturally, I mean, even Sandy has talked about this before. You're naturally going to have a push and pull between administrators and coaches. That's, the coaches always want more, and administrators always have to, you know, be able to put the reins on, mm-hmm. and to be able to say, no, this is how it is, and this is what we can give you and what we can't, you know. And so, yeah, like it's just for it to work out this way, with Chambers, and for it to end this way, it brings a lot of memories up of Ed, mm-hmm. and how he left, and sure. the circumstances from which he left.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think over this 39-year span, who's been the one constant? Hmm. Well, as long as you guys don't zero in on that. All right.
You've all allowed right. it all to happen, Steve. Come on.
What's the one constant? All right. Nate, appreciate it very much. Sorry about the delayed tea time. Next round's on me.
You know what? I appreciate that. And I'm, you know me, all right? I don't give up. I'm still going to make it for the back, okay?
I know you will. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right. See you in Indy.